now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Oh, the lights are drawing in, but hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Ali Shilton.
And I'm Tara Fraser. On the show tonight, join us in the studio is David Herod, talking about pacifism and the weaponization of Christianity by the far right.
And this week's queerstry looks at, you informs you registered as male in 1952.
All today.
Right here on Shout Out. No one. No, you can tell Ez isn't here.
The grown-ups are in charge. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, I'm just going to say it.
We don't sing, do we? So,
no. Too sensible.
So, a belated happy birthday. I wasn't here last week. Sorry,
thank
mate.
You.
Did you have a nice time?
I did, yes.
So, did they say happy birthday to you there last week?
They did. Yes, they had a little jingle made for me by Steph.
Oh, bless.
Under the wonders of artificial intelligence.
So, how young are you?
53 now.
Oh, you're still young.
No, I'm still
younger
getting,
than me.
Yeah. All the time. I'm getting
I thought
there.
The Scottish went on forever. It's...
Oh, we do go on forever. Yeah. We just feel that way. But we die young. Because of the Mars bars. The haggis. Deep fried haggis. Deep fried fries. Eat pizzas.
Oh, deep fried pizza.
That is a thing. That's
yeah,
a real
I've
thing.
I've heard of it. Yeah. Yes.
And it's not normally a fresh pizza. They use the leftovers that are going stale.
That's the best bit about pizzas is the next morning when it's gone cold.
No,
it's really delicious.
No, I can't.
My favourite is macaroni pie.
Macaroni pie.
Yeah.
So you put it in a pastry.
It's short crust pastry with macaroni dropped inside, and you cook, yeah, it's lush. Deep fry it, and it's even perfect.
Is it just to keep you warm that you deep fat fry everything?
Yeah, it's a bit colder up there, isn't it? At the end of the day, they'll be properly cold up there by now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's getting worse here. I mean, I've been seeing a T-shirt because it was sunny driving home from Oxford earlier, and then when we got out of the car, I'm like, it's pissing down with rain.
Rain, mean
worse. I quite like the cooler weather, the coming of the autumn. And
I love the colour of leaves.
Yeah. Sort of snuggling down in front of the TV.
I was walking Vassals Park, and the trees have just got all that colour.
It's starting to change
through.
Now, isn't it?
Lush.
Yeah. It's when the clocks go back, you're suddenly like, oh, my God, now it feels like winter. Yeah, Dave's nodding his head.
Yes, definitely. Suddenly something happens and suddenly it's dark all the time.
Yeah.
Very British.
So it's weird because, of course, we used to be 7 o'clock, so it would be a few more weeks before we would be broadcasting in the dark.
Yes, we're later now.
But now we're at 8 o'clock. Of course, it's dark already now.
I know.
Summer's over.
It's all right.
Good hearty
Halloween
food
next.
Good hearty food now.
Halloween
I was
going
to say, maybe there'll be another heat wave. You never know. The way things are going.
Wouldn't be surprised, no.
Yes.
That or nuclear radiation, the way we're going. It's one
it
or the other.
Indian summer when the summer creeps into autumn.
It is, yeah. Indian summer. Yeah. I don't know why it's called an Indian summer, but it is.
Because it's late.
I'm not sure. Well, yes, but well, what is
why?
It about an Indian summer that's late, particularly?
Yeah. And what Indians do refer to, I wonder. Culturally.
Is it not just a case of their summer is later in the year? Because Australia is literally the opposite.
Well,
to us.
Yeah, I mean, other territories do have different seasons, don't they? But some, you know, I mean, my Nigerian colleagues, you know, they say that there's a rainy season, there's a dry season, but you don't get spring, summer, autumn, winter in the way that you do.
Well,
in Europe.
You ask an American, they don't know what autumn is. It's fall.
Fall. Yeah, yeah, cool.
Do you think you've got Indian people saying, do you think we'll get a British summer this year?
Plenty of rain.
Yes.
So, well, I mean, given how hot it's been in some parts of India this year, I think they'd love it. One of my colleagues comes from there. He went back. It was nearly 50 degrees when he was there.
Far too hot.
Yeah.
That's far too hot.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 is bad enough, actually, and I know that a lot of people find, you know, sleeping
I got used to it this year. Well, I was quite enjoying it this year. Yeah.
Well, the difference with the UK is it's a lot more humid.
Yes.
So 40 degree here feels really hot. If you go to somewhere like Paris, the French weather is a lot less humid. The humidity level is lower. Mm. So 40 degrees walking around Paris felt more like 35 does here.
Okay, yeah.
It's still blooming hot.
I just moved in the house, so one part was colder, and then move it, and then open all the windows and let the heat out overnight, and then do it again. Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, there are some countries where they, because if you dig down like a metre or so underground, you probably know this better than anyone, because it's kind of your forte, but you know, building things. But you go down a metre, and the temperature hardly changes.
That's right.
Below. And in some countries, they will dig a big tunnel underground, so that the air can come into the house through the tunnel. You open the window at the top and lets all the heat out of the house and draws cool air in from underneath.
Oh. Very popular about 10 years ago in building design. Not so much now.
That's why our ancestors used to live in caves, because you get deep into a cave system like Wookiee Hall and the ambient temperature all year round is about 10, 11 degrees centigrade. Yeah.
Well, the frost doesn't get below about 300 mil in the ground in the UK, unlike somewhere in America.
So anyway, welcome to autumn, everyone.
That is your history lesson and geography lesson for the week. Questions will be asked at the end of the programme.
It's also the season where people start coming out again, isn't it? It's
coming out?
Yeah, well, true.
Hey, I'm gay. Well,
historically, I remember the summer was a bit...
Is there a season where the gays come out?
I came out in October. It was October.
It's easier to kind of like...
Or is this a Scottish thing again?
Probably my thing.
I remember
getting, was too bright. To
I remember going to buy my first copy of Gay Times, which had Regina Fong, HRH, Her Imperial Highness, who was a drag queen in London, like a great drag queen. And the barcode didn't work, so the shopkeeper, and it was the student union shop in Aberystwyth, David will remember.
Yes.
And she just shouted out across the shop, "Hey, Shell, how much is Gay Times these days?" I thought I was being terribly discreet.
You don't think that was probably on purpose? Was that when they used to have like a opaque cover to them as well?
No. But I did buy a copy of The Guardian so I could put it inside a copy of The Guardian. And I walked back to my student house.
It's bad that we had a time when we had to be ashamed just to buy the Gay Times.
It's all online now, isn't it?
It's all online. Yeah.
Well, we're running out of time. We need to go into the next segment. But, I mean, it's like today, I don't know if you've seen, the BBC have cancelled yet another LGBT thing. RuPaul's Drag Race is going.
Yes, I have.
Along with I Kissed a Boy and I Kissed a Girl, which were really successful. Presented by Danny Minogue, they're gone.
I know. New one being called I Kiss JK Rowling.
with yours, maybe, not mine.
Exactly.
Anyway, on that note, should we hand over to Ez? Let's have a bit of queer history.
Why not?
Oh, if I can make it play, go on. There you go.
And welcome back to Queerstory. I am back with another very special episode, The Laird Who Was Buried in Secret. In 1968, a Scottish doctor won a court case that could have changed the legal lives of trans people across Britain decades before anyone was using that word in public. And then the government sealed it. No press, no published judgment, no precedent. For 28 years, almost no one knew it had happened at all. This is the story of Ewan Forbes. Ewan was born in October 1912 into an old Aberdeenshire family that held both a baron and a baronetcy going back to the 1600s. He was registered at birth as a girl and given the name Elizabeth. But from very early on, by every account that survives, Ewan understood himself as a boy. His mother, unusually for this time, didn't fight it. She took him to specialists in Europe, and by his teenage years, he was being treated with early forms of testosterone. At home on the family estate, he was allowed to live as himself. In public, for years, he was still required to present as a girl. A split life that a lot of trans people across history would recognise immediately, even if the details of class and country house privileges were entirely his own. He trained as a doctor. He wanted, more than anything, an ordinary life, to practice medicine, to live on the land he loved, and to marry. In 1952, Forbes did something that sounds almost unbelievable today. He had his birth certificate corrected from female to male. Scots law at the time allowed this through a fairly quiet administrative process, essentially a legal acknowledgement that the original registration had been an error. He placed a notice in the Aberdeen papers announcing he wished to be known as Dr. Ewan Forbes, and that was that. The same year, he married his housekeeper, Isabel Mitchell. He carried on as a country doctor and, eventually, as a laird of Craigvar. For over a decade, nobody outside his immediate circle treated any of this as a matter of public interest. The quiet ended in 1965, when Ewan's older brother, William, Lord Sempill, died. Under the rules, the family baronocracy could only pass through the male line, and Ewan was next in line to inherit it. A cousin, John Forbes Sempill, challenged the succession, apparently encouraged by Ewan's own sister. His argument was direct. The 1952 re-registration had no real legal force. Ewan was still, in the eyes of the law, a woman, and therefore could not inherit a title reserved for male heirs. What followed was 3 years of legal arguments in Scotland's Supreme Civil Court. The Court of Session argument about medicine, about the meaning of sex in law, about who gets to define a person's body. The court ultimately found in Forbes' favour on the basis that he was intersex, and in 1968 the Home Secretary confirmed him as Sir Ewan Forbes. He won, but almost no one was allowed to know it. The case was heard behind closed doors, the press were kept out, everyone involved, lawyers, witnesses, court officials, understood they were never to discuss it. And because the ruling was never published as an open judgment, it could never be cited as a legal precedent. That last part matters enormously. In the very same year, 1968, an English court heard a very different case, Corbett versus Corbett, and reached the opposite conclusion, ruling that a person's legal sex was fixed permanently at birth. That English ruling was published. It was cited and recited and shaped how UK law treated trans people for decades afterward. Forbes' case, which might have offered a completely different legal path, simply didn't exist as far as the law was concerned. Not because the argument had failed, but because the people who arranged the secrecy understood exactly what it would mean if other people started asking for the same recognition he'd won. Forbes lived out the rest of his life, dying in 1991, largely unknown outside his community as anything other than a well-liked country doctor. It was 1996 before the case resurfaced, when the academic Zoe Plaidon was researching trans rights and inheritance and came across his obituary. She spent years piecing together what had actually happened in that courtroom, work that eventually became her book, The Hidden Case of Ewan Forbes, published in 2021. Plaidon's research reframes Forbes not just as an interesting Edwardian eccentric, but as someone who, briefly, in 1968, had law on his side, before the state made sure no one else could use it. Forbes' story sits as an uncomfortable crossroads. His privilege, land, title, almost certainly bought him a hearing that would have been unthinkable for a trans person without money or standing, and yet, even with all of that, the outcome was judged too dangerous to let stand as public law. It's a reminder that legal recognition and public memory don't always arrive together. Sometimes one is granted, while the other is actively prevented for years, sometimes generations. Ewan Forbes got his name, his marriage, and eventually his title. What he didn't get for nearly three decades was history. That's been changing slowly through researchers like Zoe Plaidon and through the simple fact of people telling this story out loud. It's changing lives. And that's it for this Queerstory. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
You don't like that one, do you?
So Andy saw that I was coming. But I'm sorry, I haven't been here, guys. I was just running a little bit late.
Who are you?
Oh, yeah, sorry. If you don't recognise the voice, you should. It's Darren. I'm back from Australia. Thank you, Terry. Someone gives me that. Yeah, you need that, like, the applause button. Yay!
It wouldn't surprise me if we have one. We have got a touchscreen thingy somewhere. Yeah.
We should have had that loaded, ready to go.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but I wouldn't do an applause.
What would you do?
I'd do something that would take the mickey. laughter.
The drum beat is at no joke.
So did you have a nice time though?
I had a great time. It was really lovely. If anyone's not been to
it, must be kind of like
it was their
spring.
No, it was their winter when I was there. Yeah. Their winter, quote unquote.
And you thought you'd come back for some more.
Do you know what was so funny? I think there was the day when we went to Sydney, and it was probably around about 20 degrees.
Well, that's not bad.
And that's winter.
That's their winter. That's their winter. And I said, this is our summer on a good summer. We're just having a ridiculously hot one this year, but normally it's around about that.
Were you here for any of the heat?
Yeah. And it was a bit horrible in my flat. It was, there's no thorough through air, right? So there's just windows on one side and then wall, and then I'm boxed in between one flat and another flat, and so there's no breeze. It just becomes a heat box. It's really not very
there'll
nice.
Be a lot of people listening going, oh yeah. I know how you feel.
I genuinely do wonder if I, you know, if it keeps getting warmer, if anyone's going to be able to believe living in that, like, because obviously it's
we're going to become an aircon country, aren't
we? I asked about aircon, but because it's a listed frontage, you're not allowed it.
Oh, well, they got around that in other countries. They got the in-the-window ones, didn't they?
Yeah. That, but not as effective. And then, energy bills go. Anyway, we're talking about, boring stuff. But, energy bill goes up. That's what I'm saying. And then, you slap with that and you're, oh, my God.
Anyone would think you're 40-something talking about energy bills.
Yeah, well, what can I say? I'm an adult now, clearly. I'm talking about bills on the
bills
radio. I've got bills to pay. Gosh, it's not a GoFundMe. Please, I don't want to be an adult.
So we know one thing that'll make it all right.
Yeah.
Deep fat fry it.
Yeah, that's
it. Sorts everything, doesn't it?
Deep fat fry it.
Kills you earlier.
Kills you earlier. Don't care about the heat because you're getting it from the deep fat fryer.
No. And we are going to have to try deep fat fried Mars bar at some point.
Okay.
It's supposed to be.
We'll
no, to never had one.
My local chippy does it.
Do they?
Yeah.
Really? I thought it was like a Scottish thing only. You had to travel all the way there.
It started in Stonehaven.
What?
It started in Stonehaven.
Oh, it did. Yeah.
Stonehaven, which is
just south of Aberdeen.
Aberdeen, right.
Any chocolate or deep fry. Just saying.
You chill it first, though, don't you? You chill the chocolate first, and then you deep fry it.
When you put the batter in, the batter seals it in.
Why did they start with a Mars bar if any chocolate can...
You could deep fry ice cream if you really wanted to.
I've heard of that, actually.
Yeah?
There was
ice cream fritters.
There was a very strange ice cream shop in Australia.
I'm just imagine picking it up and it just like leaking out the bottom. I mean, at least a Mars bar's got a layer of chocolate around it.
Well, I guess it depends on how well you coat it, really.
It's just like melting goo.
If it's
goo,
thick batter, you plug in all the holes.
Yeah,
true.
That's what you want to do. Plug holes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. If you don't have any polyfiller, just get some
batter.
So that's your ideal comfort food. What's yours?
Oh, is it hot or cold?
Well, it's your favourite. Am I
hot or cold? Because it varies.
Okay. Well, we're coming into winter, so it's going to be cold.
Why?
Terry?
Don't know.
Comfort food, Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have that if it was bloody cold, would I?
Well, I would. I thought we were talking about my favourite.
I thought that's a good answer for the hot version. But I was like, but if it's cold, I couldn't imagine wanting to be like, let me tuck in. It's minus 20 outside. Let me tuck into my Ben and Jerry's fish food. No, I don't know.
Lancashire hot pot.
What's that?
You've never had Lancashire hot pot?
No.
It's
a bit northern for you, isn't it?
Well, apparently so is a deep fat fried Mars bar. Homemade Lancashire hot pot. It's basically lamb chunks in a stew, and then you put thin sliced potatoes on the top and you crisp them up in the oven.
Quite nice, actually. I've thought of mine. It's what I used to have as a child. It was a fish finger sandwich.
Oh, you get on with Carmel. He loves fish finger sandwiches.
Love fish finger sandwiches. And I don't eat them anymore.
And you can posh it up these days by calling them goujons.
Oh, I was going to say with the tartar sauce.
Can I say, I don't own a deep fryer anymore.
You don't?
No, my parents did. They owned a fish and chip shop. But that's fine.
But you've had enough.
I'm not sure you could do a Mars bar in an air fryer.
No, I think you can. I get a bit of a mess. Or a shallow fry, you know.
It probably wouldn't work, but you could do it. I mean, it wouldn't go very well, and you'd have a massive mess to clean up. But you could try.
Yeah, we went camping recently. We went to Penyvan over in Wales.
Nice.
And a couple of guys turned up with two Camembert.
And they were
like, what are you going to do with those? They said, well, we thought we'd make baked Camembert. I'm like, we've only got like stove burners. Yeah. Come on, Bear.
Have they been camping before? Is that first day on Earth type of vibe?
Well,
yeah.
So, anyway, talking of world stuff, Mr. Star.
Time, is it? It's time.
It's time, yeah.
Okay. Good evening, this is Shoutout News. The Feminist Gender Equality Network has issued a press release saying that their forthcoming symposium is being moved as a consequence of a surprise move by the trade union Unison. The network claims it is with regret that FGEN has decided to relocate the venue. The decision follows the publication of guidance in the recent union conference bulletin that excludes trans women from participation in next year's women's conference. After careful consideration, our steering group concluded that it would be inconsistent with our values and the expectations of our members to continue using a venue associated with an organisation that is perceived as marginalising trans women. However, in particular, there's been no substantive public statement addressing these changes, with the new restrictions appearing only as a quiet addition to the documentation for the conference. Our event, they say, which looks at the power of the British right-wing papers and how to fight them, will now take place at the Queer Britain Centre, 2 Granary Square, London, NC1. The left-wing weekly Socialist Worker reports that hundreds of people opposed right-wing groups that organised last week's March for Life against abortion rights. Their counter-event, branded Stand Up for Choice, was organised by Abortion Rights UK and enjoyed backing from a broad coalition of campaign organisations and trade unions. During the demonstration, activity centres on a cluster of CBR UK anti-abortion campaigners who had bought oversized placards featuring graphic images of foetuses. Those on the pro-choice said encircled the group, maintaining sustained chants in protest for a number of hours. Among the repeated slogans were pro-life, that's a lie, you don't care if women die. Manx Radio, the public service broadcaster of the Isle of Man, reports that a general election to the popularly elected assembly of the island's parliament, the House of Keys, will take place on Thursday the 24th of September. A national election for all constituencies takes place on the fourth Thursday of September every 5 years. Five parties are registered to contest the seats of the House. The Green Party, Manx Labour and Liberal Van Inn are all broadly centrist or left of centre and have policies that support LGBTQIA civil rights. Transform Isle of Man is a newly registered party which describes itself as progressive, and the Change Party is more traditionally conservative, although it says little about LGBTQIA plus people generally. The Isle of Man has come a long way since 1991, when the persistence of anti-gay laws on the island prompted demonstrations and direct action protests. Homosexuality was partially decriminalised in 1992, and since those days the island has followed the United Kingdom in enacting equalities legislation and marriage rights. You may have seen on the television news channels recently that the celebrated Queen of the Polka Dot, the Japanese eccentric and artist Yayoi Kusama, had passed on to the realm of Japanese ancestors. As LGBTQ Nation magazine reports, she was an ally to LGBT plus people a long time ago, showing solidarity even before the 1969 Stonewall riots. The LGBTQ Nation website says that Kusama, who passed on August the 14th, once officiated a wedding on November the 25th, 1968, as the High Priestess of Polka Dots at the Church of Self-Obliteration in Lower Manhattan, according to a report in Smithsonian magazine. For the ceremony, she designed a two-person orgy wedding gown meant to be worn by the grooms, and she used a phone book to officiate instead of a Bible. The weekend saw the 80th anniversary of the birth of Farouk Balsara, known internationally as Freddie Mercury. He was born on the 5th of September 1946. BBC Two Television gave a whole evening over to the rock group Queen and Mr. Mercury, as well as footage from performances. A documentary was aired looking at Freddie's life through the lens of the emerging AIDS crisis of the 1980s and early 1990s. Interviews with health campaigners and those who survived the pandemic years were featured, and we learned how the band and the world of pop music came together to use Freddie's passing to hold an extraordinary tribute concert, which helped change the narrative in AIDS from one of blame and scapegoating to more compassion and humanity. And finally, in sports news or sports and media news, RCS Radio Today, the media newsfeed, reports that the team at Fix Radio, the national radio station available nationwide aimed at builders, will be welcoming the lesbian rugby ace Marley Packer to their team. Packer is already an OBE for her services to sports. Now she will join the Fix Radio podcast called Tackling the Trades. Marley and Steph Lease, known as the Pink Plasterer, will be joined by other trades women to discuss the reality of working in the trades field, whether fitting bathrooms, rewiring buildings, or painting homes. From 2007 to 2009, Packer played rugby for Bath before moving to Bristol. In 2013, she was named Bristol Coach's Player of the Season. She's also a qualified plumber. That's the headlines from us this week, but why not pop by our website for more news and current affairs, as well as much more content and a way to start exploring the LGBTQIA plus internet. We are at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
You know, just dancing on the table while everyone was listening.
That started playing and Darren was like, I don't know what this is.
Well, at the beginning, it threw me off, okay?
Are you going to blame this on jet lag?
No, I can't anymore. It's been like two, 3 weeks. I think I actually got over the jet lag and then immediately went to a festival. So I undid the work I did to get back to a normal sleep schedule.
So that's the kind of thing we all did when we were younger, wasn't it? I can't even perish a thought now.
But do you need more than 3 hours of sleep?
So, I mean,
yes.
I mean,
yes.
When you get to our age,
I feel like you don't, because I'm still kicking. I'm still here. I'm still going.
Well, some people's brains are different. Margaret Thatcher allegedly only slept, 2.5 hours a night or something like that?
Really? That explains a lot.
Well, yes, exactly. Are you sure this is a thing you want to recommend?
Look, I don't think I could do it more than 4 days, because after that it took me about a week and a half to go back to normal. So, maybe not.
Maybe. Normal's overrated.
I think actually normal, just in terms of functioning body, like it works to have good hours of sleep, especially with some fruit and veg. You're actually golden. It's crazy how like just doing that makes you feel a million times better. And some water, that's always good.
Anyway, talking of feeling $1 million, welcome back, Dave. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yes,
it's lovely to have you back on the show. Are you feeling $1 million?
I suppose I'm feeling, a few hundred thousand at least.
There's a comma in there somewhere. We're not quite sure how far, but...
What's your favourite comfort food?
My favourite, I was going to say, any kind of ice cream that you have to eat with a long spoon. So you have one of those really long glasses with lots of layers, and then you stick the long spoon in.
Like they had in Back to the Future 3, the giant sundae.
Yeah. 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 Or Knickerbocker Glory.
Knickerbocker Glory, yeah.
My God.
So didn't it was that one that had the, you'd have a round ball of bubblegum in the bottom.
Yeah.
I think so. Yes,
And you could get them from the ice cream van, they're like a mini version.
I'm hungry now. Do you realise that?
I do agree with Darren, though. Ice cream in the winter.
No, absolutely not.
You've got to have nice, like, roaring fire next to you or
although
something.
Although, I will say, when I was in Japan, middle of the ski season, we ate ice cream all the time. It's a thing in Japan.
You're just proving to us how weird you really are.
Yeah, I know. And I actually was having full sleep during that bit of time, so there's actually no excuse for that.
Anyway, it's lovely to have you back again. For people that don't remember, do you want to give a very brief... synopsis of where we kind of got to with you and the history of it.
Well, it was January. There was snow on the ground. And, not quite that precise. I was here in January. And I was talking about being a Quaker. I'm a Quaker. And for those who don't know about Quakers, they are an offshoot sort of in the 17th century, in the time of the parliamentarians, of sort of revolution. Quakers were an offshoot from the Anglican Church, but really rejected all the sort of structures of having a priest, having a church building, having services and all that. So they are genuinely a religious group, but one that relies on individual inspiration. So they meet in silence and they believe in peace, equality, simplicity and truth as their founding principles. And they don't have a hierarchy as such either. And there's only about 400,000 of us in the UK, but Quakers have had quite an influence over the years. Quite relevant to your listeners is in 1963, Quakers were the first religious group to be open about saying that what makes the quality of a relationship is not the gender or sex of those involved. And it was a book called Towards a Quaker View of Sex, and this was back, obviously, when heterosexual relationships were the only ones tolerated in law, and it was seen as very progressive for its time. So Quakers have had a
Wolverton Report was 1957.
Yeah.
57. So they were
quite progressive. Yeah, as David said, homosexual relationships were outlawed at the time.
Have they been very accepting of homosexuality before that period too? Because they go all the way back to the 17th
yes,
century.
Yes, absolutely. Because Quakers believe in equality, so everyone has that of God in them is the phrase. So what your sexuality is matters not, because you're a child of God, a Quaker would see, and it doesn't matter. That's not what defines you, basically, for a Quaker. I mean, there's some very interesting early Quakers. I was telling Terry not so long ago, there was, I think it's 18th century, there was a Quaker who renamed themselves the Public Universal Friend referred to themselves the rest of their lives using they, them pronouns, way ahead of anything now. And sadly, not all Quakers were accepting of this. Mm-hmm. But this, you know, this idea that if it's the quality of your character that matters rather than your sexuality, then, yeah, Quakers are absolutely inclusive of everyone.
Wow.
And there is this tradition, isn't there, in Christianity, in particularly sort of radical Christianity, through the Quakers, through Unitarians and other Methodists to an extent, of radicalism about gender and sexuality. I mean, was it Julian of Norwich writing in the 13th century was on about, you know, God is neither male or female. If God exists, then they must have characteristics of male and female together.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Quakers aren't alone in it. Certainly, and especially in that 17th century time of upheaval, a lot of the groups that formed out of what was then dominant Anglicanism did have a much more tolerant view on lots of things, but especially anything based on equality, gender, sex.
Yeah, which is great to hear in this age. You know, I mean, I know religion is coming along, but traditionally it's been very unaccepting of anyone LGBT plus.
But the word homosexual is a new word, isn't it? It's not that
first coined in 1869.
Yeah, so it's the first publication, and it's not been that long in the Bible.
No, it's a reading of the King James Bible, isn't it? Yeah. Excuse me. That says that the rule of Leviticus, which is the man shall not sleep with another man.
But that's a mistranslation.
But it's different. It's different in the Greek and Aramaic text that the Bible comes from. So I remember going to a symposium once with a rabbi who, obviously Christianity is, as we know, an offshoot of Judaism. And the rabbi said, you know, All of these things that were in the ancient codes were always subject to massive revision by rabbinical law anyway. There was never a time when we went around stoning people for being LGBT, as we now call it. So, that was a lovely gay rabbi.
It's very well known that Leviticus also says you should be stoned if you wear two different cloths.
Exactly, and that doesn't happen.
Most people wear cotton t-shirts and a leather belt.
We don't want to see you like a blended wool jumper. They'd pick your seams apart.
Now, David, I have to ask, what is the connection between Quakers and chocolate? Because that is something that everybody knows.
How did that come about? Fries.
Very well known in Bristol.
Fries, Cadbury's, and Roundtree's, all of them. Well, of course, Quakers, being not part of the established church, couldn't serve in the armed forces, couldn't stand for Parliament. They could obviously didn't want to be part of the priesthood. There was very few careers open for them. And because they had this reputation for honesty, because Quakers always tell the truth, because, you know, you don't deceive your fellow human being because they are equal to you. Mm. They had this reputation for honesty at a time when chocolate was being sold with, well, just about...
sweepings off the floor.
Exactly, yes. So Quakers got this reputation for being honest chocolate dealers, and hence the Cadbury's, the Fry's, of course, in Bristol, and Roundtree's as well, were Quaker companies. I don't think any of them are anymore.
That's what I was going to ask. Do they still have any roots? No.
Cadbury's was the most recent. It was sold to an American company that made Hershey's chocolate. Yeah.
But Quakers are very strong in the fair trade movement, which, you know, brings them into contact with along with other Christian groups and atheistic groups as well. Yeah. And
Definitely in the fair trade movement. And I read a really interesting biography of Joseph Rowntree not so long ago, and he only lived sort of into the 20s and 30s, but he was very much in the end of his life, very much moving from that idea of the sort of Quakers set up these chocolate companies to saying the people who work in the chocolate companies should own them. And they started some of the first movements of employee ownerships and cooperatives. Yeah. But yeah,
because I know some of the big factories like Bournville, for example, he built an entire village.
That is, that's the Cadbury village, Bournville. And yes, sadly, Cadbury's have now been sold off to an American multinational. Yes, they're not quite the same. Yes.
Promised they wouldn't close the factory, and they closed it a week after they bought the company.
That's right.
Oh, no, let's not go there.
But I think, to go back to the discussion we were having in January, I think one of the things which has leapt out at me from that, Terry reminded me that I was saying at that time that I think what's happened, the rise of the sort of what they call themselves Christian nationalists, has really given a kick up the backside to the progressive Christians, that if you don't believe in the way things are going, you need to get out there and say it. And it's interesting, as a TikTok user, there are boot camps now for progressive Christian posters.
What does that look like?
Well, they go to online things where they're taught, this is how you engage with people. Oh. This is why the far right are so good at engaging with people on social media. We need to be able to do that as well.
That's so interesting. I had no
really
idea. It's
really fascinating to see that. See that coming.
They're looking at their engagement. That's crazy.
I know. Well, the recent, what do they call themselves? The blacks, aren't they? They had the black mask on, and they all turned up at Portsmouth.
Stop the boats.
That was
Save Britain.
All organised online very, very quickly.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And it's a guy, it's not like, yes.
One of his friends. Lennon,
one of his friends.
Friends. And there was a documentary on Channel 4 actually last night about where their finance has come from, which I'd commend to you.
I guess? Let me guess. Goes to somewhere in the US and there's something to do with Christian.
I thought that was. Or maybe I'm thinking of a different documentary, the one that Channel 4 did on Nigel Farage and his funding.
Oh, they did one on him as well.
There's been two, hasn't there?
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. Channel 4 are doing crazy things over there, aren't they?
They always have. Good. They've always been quite
good. Channel 4 was the radical channel. I watched the opening of Channel 4. Remember the opening of Channel 4?
No, because I lived somewhere that couldn't get Channel 4. So I only had three channels.
Can I ask? So, Quakers, were they attacked in any way in the history, or were they kind of left to be allowed to be part of the society? You know how Catholicism was really attacked? Hunted down?
Yes. I mean, yes and no. The initially, Quakers were quite accepted in the Commonwealth days, and then when the monarchy was restored, Quakers were seen as a threat. To the monarchy, and there was often quite a lot of persecution then. Quakers tended to emigrate. So, for instance, there's a whole area in Pennsylvania which has got Welsh place names from Dolgellau, because all the Welsh Quakers from Dolgellau, rather than be persecuted, just went to America. But America had some awful things happening, though, at that time. I've been to Boston, and there's a statue of Mary Dyer, who was a Quaker who was executed in the Massachusetts colony, and quite a few others were, for not being Puritan enough, basically.
Yeah, really?
So we never got to that excess in Britain, but no. There was persecution, yeah.
You see, yeah, witches.
What? She's a witch? That, yeah.
Someone said to me the other day, they said, you know, did the witches just get really good at it, or did, because we used to hunt them and put them in the river and the like, and we kind of stopped.
Oh, now you can pay online for like an Etsy witch, which I don't know if you've seen. Yeah, well, you can be like, oh, I want to get this curse for someone. All right, then that's £5.
it's a different tradition to Christianity. It's a pre-Christian religion, but witchcraft acts were repealed in 1951, I believe.
Wow. Really, that late?
Which is when it became, then it was legal to be a pagan. But in America, again, with the rise of the Christian right, if you are a pagan, you know, and that whole tradition of nature-based religions like Wicca and Voodoo and things like that, is you can have your children taken away from you in some states.
Oh my goodness!
They're still very, very reactionary. Gosh. To it, so
I'm learning so many things.
Yeah. So, very educational here.
Yeah.
Very educational here. David, do you think that with things that are happening on the protest movement at the moment, and obviously you referred to the fact that a lot of Quakers were involved in protests, and quite a few have been arrested over the Palestine Action issue, and Palestine Action is a group which has been declared as a terrorist threat, although I'd see it more as a traditional direct action civil disobedience campaign. Do you know many Quakers that have been arrested?
I don't know any from my own meeting, which is Cardiff meeting. Quakers, you know, churches, we call them meetings because we just meet, basically. But of course, it was Westminster Quaker Meeting House, which has been broken into twice by the police to arrest Palestine Action people, and there's been quite a few Quakers who've been arrested on demonstrations. I mean, there have been from quite a few faiths. I mean, the joke with the first time the police broke into Westminster Meeting House is the door was open; they didn't need to bash it in. You know, they said we'd have let them in if they'd knocked. You know, but there we go. but Palestine Action, but also things to do with climate change as well. So, for instance, my Quaker meeting, every Saturday we have people sitting outside Barclays doing a climate action protest. Quakers have been involved in all those issues very, very much so.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I didn't like it when they were throwing orange paint at, like...
Well, that was a group called Just Stop Oil, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was like National Treasure works of art and stuff that they were absolutely ruining, wasn't it? It didn't stop oil at all.
But I suppose they'd say that it was...
Highlighted.
Highlighting an issue. It's a very difficult one, isn't it? It's the usual debate, but yes.
Yes, so indeed. In the UK... Church of England have got ministers inside the parliamentary system. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't like that. Yeah. Just be honest with you.
No.
Well, Quakers are honest. We always tell the truth. Yes, absolutely. I don't see why bishops sit in the House of Lords at all. That absolutely. And I think that's more than just a Quaker issue. I wouldn't want somebody, I don't know how, I don't know what we do in Quakers. We'd probably have a committee that would look at it or something and find someone to sit in the House of Lords. But, you know, I'm not in favour of any kind of hierarchy. So,
church and state dividing the two have been a hot topic for a long time, isn't it? Because technically, King Charles is the head of the church,
but also he's the one that says
yes, you can be my prime minister, and
like, he does. Yeah. Well, you can come into the House of Lords. He can't leave, but you can just stay in there. Get told, you can go in the other place, and
there's a very,
you know, in the House of Lords.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They go into the House of Lords to form the government. That's where the king or the queen would say, yes, I want you to form the government. But they're not allowed to go into the chambers of the
House of Commons. Yeah.
The House of Commons, the House of Lords, yeah.
That's what Black Rod is about.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
There's a very odd bit of religious trivia, talking of Parliament. There is a law, I believe it's still in effect, saying that no one who is a Prime Minister can affect, who isn't a member of the Church of England, can have any say in the appointment of archbishops or bishops. And being that Andy Burnham is a Roman Catholic... it said now he won't be able to recommend appointments in the Church of England because of that law.
Unless he changes that law, of course.
There was a time when he wouldn't have been allowed to become Prime Minister at all, being Roman Catholic.
Yeah. So, interestingly, though, he's very pro-LGBT.
I think
he's Labour, though, so...
Traditionally,
we're not seeing much action towards trans people.
No,
let's be honest.
Somebody told me,
I mean, he's been attacked about everything.
He's only been there like five minutes. There's a lot to go on.
Not good enough.
Yeah, give the poor guy a chance. He's got to get his feet under the table first.
Inaction man, I've heard it said.
Whereas we had Never Hear Keir before, of course, didn't we?
I liked when, what was it, she couldn't last longer than a bit of lettuce. Who was that?
Liz Truss
and the lettuce. That's my favourite one.
Just before we finish, David, about Quakers, what's the national website address?
So I would just put in Quakers in Britain. And just search on that, and the Bristol Central meeting is just behind Cabot Circus car park, so it's easy to find if you want to go along.
They do food runs for the homeless on Friday nights as well from that building.
Have you always been in Quaker?
I haven't, no. About 20 years ago, I was talking about spirituality with someone, and I said, I haven't got a religion, and they said, oh, you're probably a Quaker. And I looked into it, and I was.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, because we talked about it before, because it's very divisive if you're LGBT religion, you know.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And I won't mention names, but we've had several people here who were like, you know, my faith means a lot to me, but I find it very divisive because they're so anti-LGBT, you know. It can be quite difficult, and Quakerism is one solution to that, I guess.
Yep. Well, I we're certainly welcoming. Quakers were marrying same-sex couples when it wasn't legal.
Because some churches still it's down to the minister's choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you need a wedding, go to the Quakers.
I'll put you in contact with someone.
Yeah. So you don't call them churches, you said? You call them
meeting houses.
Right.
Because originally Quakers...
Are you allowed to marry in a meeting house?
You can.
You can't in a church, can you? That's in law that you can't.
Yes, you can in a meeting house. The first Quaker wedding I went to was two women who got married.
Oh, that's
very lovely. Yes. Quakers, one of our advantages is we have had special dispensation to marry people in religious services when other religions couldn't. But have always taken the basis of, you're looking at two consenting adults. That's all that matters. So.
Well, you know, I never thought of having a Quaker meeting house on my Pinterest board for my wedding, but maybe that's going to be added too.
Getting contact.
Does it get that serious? You're already planning the wedding. Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah, we're actually thinking of Tuscany, actually. That's the dream. But, you know, I've got $1 million, so...
Tuscany, isn't that in Italy?
Yeah,
they're very anti-LGBT there.
Well, we're just best friends, right? That kiss each other sometimes.
That sounds interesting.
They've got a right-wing government at the moment.
You said every gay man knows every other gay man through...
Six degrees of sex, isn't it? Everyone knows everyone else. One of my friends once, I was out on Facebook and she found me. She's an old school friend. Said, "Oh, what's Will Young like?" And I said, "I don't know what Will Young like." She said, "I thought you people all knew each other."
No, she just said Tom Daley. I wish I could say I've never had that happen to me, but where I live at the moment, there's a lesbian couple behind us. When we met the neighbour, she went, "Oh, you two are same sex couple. Do you know the two lovely ladies behind you?" I was like, "No, I've never moved here."
Oh, well, gay men and lesbians, they don't often cross that line. not for the same.
And the other one you get is, "Oh, my brother's son is gay. Do you know him?"
Yeah.
Like, funnily enough, I don't.
I like it when it's paired with mental health issues too. Oh, they have depression too. You must get on. All right, fair enough.
I don't think there's anyone LGBT who hasn't got a story like that to tell, have they?
For sure.
So anyway, we're rapidly running out of time. But David, thank you so much for coming. It's lovely to have you in. It is a subject I could do like two like back-to-back shows on. You know, it's fascinating to hear.
So much to know. I've just learned as well.
Anyway, that's it for this week. If you have an event or a story like Dave, or perhaps you'd even like to get involved in the radio, do check us out online and get in touch.
Plus, all of our shows are available as podcasts on all good services, as well as our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, I promise you, is the Little Gay Bookshop. But from myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.